Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
But it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
He comes on damn near Papito's full steam ahead.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WEC Boxing TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now, I am the undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio airwaves. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion and an award-winning boxing writer. So supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? You probably know more. So therefore, I'm going to throw the toll-free phone line out there. If you'd like to join us, you can. Here's the number, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, rocking and rolling last night, boxing all over the place. Boxing in Las Vegas, of course, the man, Vasyl Lomachenko, coming back, of course, after losing his title in one-sided fashion, of course, to Teofimo Lopez. Lopez, now with COVID, of course, his fight last week was called off. But bottom line is Lomachenko back in action, of course, taking on Nakatani, Masashi Nakatani from Japan. That was a thrilling fight for nine rounds, but Lomo back and on top, a winner, no doubt about that. We'll talk about the main event of last night's fights, of course. There was a slew of fights all over the world, but Gervonta Davis, of course, eyes were on Gervonta Davis, Atlanta, Georgia. Of course, Gervonta Davis, the 130-pound champion of the World Boxing Association, WBA 135-pound title holder, and now the WBA 140-pound title holder, stopping Mario Barrios in the 11th round. Pretty exciting fight, back and forth. Barrios down in one round, showed a lot of guts and intestinal fortitude to get up and come back. But the bottom line is, at the end of the night, Tank Davis the winner, no doubt about that, and the champion. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
You hurt?
It's my head, Doc. It's my head.
Dizzy? Ringing in your ears?
Well, I mean, it's all the time, Doc.
Like bells?
That's it, Doc, like bells. Huh? That Doc.
How do they go? Dong-dong, ding-ding, or ding-dong? It's important.
Ding-dong? Dong-ding?
No second guessing. But, too bad. Should go dong-dong.
I love you walk, the way that you talk.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
What a thrilling night of boxing, no doubt about that. Let's talk about, of course, the main event. Why do I say the main event? Because everybody's eyes were focused on Atlanta GA last night. Of course, Showtime pay-per-view in the main event. Gervonta Davis, unbeaten. Of course, the kid that won a title at 130 pounds, won a title at 140 pounds. I mean, he was the real deal. He is the real deal, no doubt about that. And last night, he proved that he is now the man at 140 pounds as far as the World Boxing Association is concerned. Now, 25-0, 24 KOs. Of course, Tank Davis, a TKO winner in 11 rounds. Mario Barrios, El Azteca, came out. He fought hard. He was 26-0 with 17 KOs. But the problem is, he took a knife fight to a gun fight. In other words, he didn't have the punching power to match it with Tank. And if you can't hurt Tank, if you can't really dissuade him from coming at you, eventually he's going to come at you and get you, no doubt about it. Of course, a body shot put Barrios down in round 11, and the fight was stopped soon thereafter. I will have to say this. He now is the WBA 130-pound champion, the WBA 135-pound champion, and the WBA 140-pound champion. I don't think that's been done in quite a while, so props to Gervonta Davis. Now, as far as him hooking it up with Josh Taylor, maybe we'll get Hector Martinez on a little bit later, but Hector's a big fan of Tank, and he thinks that Tank eats anybody up at 140 pounds. I don't know. I mean, Josh Taylor, in beating Jose Ramirez a fortnight ago, I thought he established himself as the premier 140-pounder. Now, Hector was talking good about Davis pre-fight, during the fight, after the fight. Of course, Mario had his moments. I mean, Mario won like the first four rounds. I mean, if you were watching the first four rounds, you were saying to yourself, Davis is a 5-1 favorite? You got to be kidding me. He's not a 5-1 favorite. He's getting beaten handily here. Well, he wasn't getting beaten up, but he was getting beaten. And the first four rounds definitely went to Mario Barrios. Of course, at the end of the night, it didn't matter. At the end of 11 rounds, he was stopped at 213 of the 11th round. Got to give him props. Talking about Gervonta Davis, and of course, you have to give Mario Azteca Barrios some credit too, because he showed tremendous intestinal fortitude as well. Now, in Las Vegas, Nevada, wow, Nakatani. Who is that? Nakatani is a guy that Miyoshi Nakatani. Of course, he was a guy that stopped Felix Verdejo last year. Of course, I think in September of 2020. Verdejo is a guy that killed his girlfriend, and then he murdered her, and he stabbed her, and he shot her, and he threw her off a bridge. I mean, he did everything. He suffocated. Did everything. He tortured her. Okay, Felix Verdejo, of course, worst degree murder. I think the FBI and the feds are going to come at him with a federal civil rights charge as well, in addition to the murder charge. But I think he's going to spend the rest of his life, without a doubt, in jail, if not dead. I think Felix Verdejo, of course. But Nakatani, back to the fight at hand, Nakatani knocked him out last year. Of course, that was the end of Felix's career. Then he became basically a girlfriend killer. Anyway, Lomachenko, what can I say? Now 15-2, 11 KOs, a ninth-round KO winner over Miyoshi Nakatani. Now 19-2, 13 KOs. And listen, Nakatani was never a guy that ever impressed me. There was nothing he really did that was impressive. I'm telling you, I mean, nothing. I mean, I look at the end of the day and I say to myself, you know, what has Nakatani really done except beat Verdejo? Nothing. Of course, Lomachenko back now after the loss of Teofimo Lopez. I said 15-2, 11 KOs. Where does this put him? I don't know. It's a good tune-up fight. It's a tune-up fight because you knew he was going to beat Nakatani. There was absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind, maybe except Nakatani, that he was Lomachenko was going to prevail. Absolutely no doubt about it, okay? And at the end of the night, he did prevail. Does that mean he's going to be a 135-pound champion again? I don't know if he'll be lightweight champion again, because I don't think he can beat Teofimo Lopez, not even on a good night. And if Lopez had a bad night, I don't think he's losing. I just don't think so. I think he's younger, stronger, and more importantly, he's bigger. See, size matters against, you know, in two things, pornography and combat sports, and this is combat sports, but Nakatani, not a big guy, in other words, stature-wise. He's tall and lean, but he hasn't got a whole lot of muscle on him. He's a pretty lean Japanese guy. Lomachenko, pretty perfect body for a boxer, and of course, he breaks you down, he just chips you down punch by punch, and the ninth round KO, well, what can I say? Comeback was successful for Felicio Lomachenko, no doubt about that. Now, some other fights we're talking about, of course, Manny Pacquiao and Errol Spence, of course, they're going to go in August. Now, Errol Spence, of course, wasn't Manny Pacquiao's original opponent. They were supposed to be talking about him fighting Ryan Garcia. Then it was supposed to be Mikey Garcia. So Mikey Garcia and Conor McGregor's people, they evidently got together and they signed a contract. And Manny signed a contract. They evidently signed more than one contract. And then, of course, about a month later, he signs a fight with Errol Spence. So Manny's one of these guys that signs a lot of contracts. Okay, he's gotten in trouble in the past with signing contracts. He's probably going to get in trouble for this one, no doubt about that. I think that Manny Pacquiao, of course, going against Errol Spence, I think that he's a decided underdog here. I mean, it just doesn't look good for him. He's fighting a bigger guy that hits hard. I mean, the guy's left-handed and right-handed, go both ways as far as his boxing style is concerned. But he's a big junior, a big welterweight, no doubt about that. I'm talking about Errol Spence out of Dallas, Texas. But Earl got thrown out of that car about a year and a half ago. Remember? Got thrown out of the car at 115, 120 miles an hour, and he ended up having some brain damage. Don't say he didn't have no brain damage. That's what people say to me. He didn't get any brain damage. Well, there was some neurological damage. Neurological means brain, because there was bleeding in his eyes, which meant that at the very least he had a severe concussion. His eyes are bleeding. Didn't you see that mugshot like a week later with all those blood cells in his eyes, or his bloodshot eyes? Anyway, the bottom line is it wasn't from him drinking. It was from him getting thrown out of that car and the fact that, you know, his body went through all kinds of changes. So do I ever think he'll be the same again? I was never a big Earl Spence fan to begin with. I think he's capable. Do I think he beats Terrence Crawford? Probably not. I mean, Crawford's a pretty complete fighter, whether he's fighting at 147 or 140 or 135. I mean, because he's made it. At 135, 140, and 147, he showed that he can fight at any weight class. Of course, pound for pound, he might be the best out there. Spence, I'm not convinced on Spence. Now, as far as him and Manny Pacquiao is concerned, some people say to me, no, that's a terrible fight for Manny Pacquiao. Why do you want Manny to take that fight? Why would you want him to take such a fight? It's a terrible fight. He's going to get killed. He's probably not going to get killed. And the reason why I say that is he's fast, and he can jump in real quick on Errol Spence. Errol Spence is one of those guys that look like he smoked more weed than some of my producers in the years gone by, okay? So what I'm trying to tell you is that I think Manny Pacquiao's got a hell of a shot against Errol Spence. I mean a hell of a shot. Is he 41 years old? Is he 42 years old? Yes. Is he older than dirt? Yes. Is he way past his prime? Not really, because, you know, he beat up Keith Thurman 2 years ago, and the way he took Thurman apart. Thurman was a top-ranked contender. The way he took him apart was pretty, like, admirable. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he just took Keith Thurman apart. Of course, he will do the same thing, I think, to Errol Spence if he can get Errol Spence to catch a couple of those left-hand crosses. See, once Manny catches you with that left-hand cross, you don't see it. That's what's, you remember, I told you many times before, is that the punches that hurt you in the world of boxing are not the punches you see, it's the punches you don't see. You can ask Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali said he never got knocked down by a punch that he saw coming at him. It was always punches he didn't see. The only time I was ever knocked down, and I was knocked down a few times, maybe more than a few, but each time was from a punch I didn't see. I never got knocked down by a straight left or a straight right hand. It was always like a hook, a right hook or a left hook. Those hooks, man, they're coming in, they loop them at you, and you can't see them sometimes in your peripheral vision because maybe you got headgear on or something like that, and it isn't perfect, but at the end of the night, you get hit with a shot you don't see, and a lot of times you just wow. I mean, it's not a matter of taking a punch either because, you know, if you see a punch, you can take it for the most part. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Psychologically, you can take it. But if you don't see it, you can't take it. No doubt about that. Open phone lines around the planet, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, this is your inside look into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. My name is Pedro Fernandez. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the Sunday edition, of course, coming to you at 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. I can go on and on, but the bottom line is, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the one and only.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Come on over here, man. He's been here before. He done broke records here before. He's a legend of the sport, and it'd be my honor to fight him next.
Time to take us south of the border, folks. South San Francisco, that's right. South City, and bring in my buddy Hector Martinez, of course, the former manager Roberto Duran, himself a two-time amateur Golden Glove champion. Mr. Martinez, fine night of boxing last night, no doubt about that. Let's talk about Gervonta Davis, the tank. He was in trouble early on, or he was losing early on. Was he ever in trouble?
He was in trouble a little later in the fight, but at the beginning, he was just getting outboxed, and I got to hand it to Barrios. They had a good game plan as far as just being straight up, good posture, and just boxing him, keeping him on the outside, keeping Davis going a little backwards where he's not too good fighting backwards. Mm-hmm. And he had to weather the storm. It took him a lot of rounds to where maybe he got Barrios a little tired, and then he started coming on him and making Barrios pay for the mistakes. But as you've seen during the fight, Mayweather was even under pressure, okay? They were all panicking. So, you know, this was that kind of fight where the fighter had to go for it, all right? Because it wasn't going to come to him. He had to go for it. And that's exactly what he did.
You brought up Floyd Mayweather. Is this Mayweather's crown jewel, Gervonta Davis?
Definitely. It looks that way, don't it? When do you see a promoter in a corner of a fighter?
Babysitting him.
Yes.
I mean, because he made sure he got him out of jail with that little issue he had, of course, with the hit and run, that kind of good stuff. I think that sort of went bye-bye. But the bottom line is Davis was a winner tonight, a TKO winner, a KO winner in 11 rounds. Young man, Barrios came to fight. Virgil Hunter got him in good shape, but
at
the end of the night, man, it still boils down to the power and the pop of Tank Davis, huh?
Yes, it did. He landed a good body shot. I do have to say this. I wasn't too sure about it, but my gut feeling was, and you know how I feel about this, and I know you're against this, but I thought that they stopped it prematurely. When they interviewed the fighter, he felt the same way.
Hmm. You know, I will say, but...
Because he took a lot of hard shots even during the fight, and he was coming back.
Yeah, but, you know...
And the fight was close enough to where, on the scorecards, you might even have had Barrios ahead still.
You know, you're making a good case for a little boxing conspiracy here, and I see where you're going with that, but they're not going to fight again. I mean, Mario Barrios...
No, that's fine if they don't fight again. I'm just talking on this fight here.
Okay. As far as Nakatani is concerned, of course, with Lomachenko, is he really a test? I mean, he knocked out Felix Verdejo, the guy that killed his girlfriend, but outside of beating Verdejo, what's he done?
Well, he gave Teofimo a tough fight.
That's true. He did give Teofimo a tough fight. Speaking of Teofimo, he goes through like a year and not getting any COVID. He's a good boy the whole nine yards. He moves his training camp to like the middle of nowhere, and then 4 days before the fight, he tests positive for COVID. Talk about bad luck.
I guess so. COVID is sneakier than all these guys put together.
Okay, let's talk about Manny Pacquiao and Errol Spence. Of course, that's going to go down in August. Now, Manny's being sued by a promoter by the name of Paradigm, and they represented Conor McGregor at one point in time. They said that Manny had signed a contract to fight Mikey Garcia. That means they're going to get some money at some point in time. They're trying to stop the fight. It won't be stopped. But Errol Spence and Manny Pacquiao, size-wise and age-wise, it looks like a mismatch.
Yes, but not marketing-wise.
Marketing-wise,
that's what made the fight. And at this point, you know, Errol Spence wants to claim he's the best fighter, but instead he chooses to fight the oldest fighter. So, sorry. Just have to tell it like it is. All right.
Okay.
If you're the best fighter, you don't need to fight a guy all the way from the Philippines when you have a guy real close to you by the name of Terrence Crawford.
So Mr. Crawford, and of course, Omaha, Nebraska, the former lightweight champion, former junior welterweight champion, now the welterweight title holder with the WBO. He and Spence, can you believe they were knick-knacking back and forth over a lousy 10%? In other words, one guy wanted 60, the other guy wanted 60. They wouldn't settle at 50-50. I mean, is it that big of a fight that they need to make it happen, or they can go other ways and make money?
Well, sometimes when you know that you're risking too much as far as the fight itself, you want to get paid well. Especially if you're going to lose.
Okay.
So that might have been, sometimes the negotiations, I should say it this way, sometimes you want the negotiations to fail because it's really a fight you didn't want.
Okay, good point.
And that's what I think Spence did.
Okay.
They don't want Crawford.
I don't get a chance to talk to you too often on the radio, but I will hear and I'll push this on you. I'm of the opinion that what happens in these UFC fights is going to cause such tremendous residual damage down the road that a lot of these guys can walk around like retarded in 5 or 10 years. Am I right, or am I just going overboard? Am I being too cautious?
Well, I think we've had UFC around longer than 10 years to where we'd be able to notice that by now.
But
I know, it would, without a doubt, it is a brutal sport, but, you know, it is loved by the fans. So I don't think it's going anywhere.
Okay, why can't you call your boy Dana White on the phone? Because I know you got his number. Why can't you call him and tell him to pay his guys, man? I mean, he pimps those guys off like they were hoes.
I'm sorry, I can't call Dana. I don't have his number right now.
No, he has his number anymore. Okay. The World Heavyweight Championship is going to go on one more time. We'll talk about Deontay Wilder. They're going to get a third fight with Tyson Fury. And the reason why the third fight's going down is that Anthony Joshua pulled out of the Tyson Fury match because he has a contract with Sky Sports and he has one more fight left with Sky Sports. He wants to end that contract with them and then sign with DAZN and Barry Hearn and make the big money. So that's why this fight's going to go down with Anthony Joshua and a guy named Oleg Usyk, some former cruiserweight champion. Now, Wilder and Fury. Wilder won two rounds in their 19 rounds. What makes him think he can do anything differently, or can he? Does he think he can, or is he just cashing out?
I don't know, because didn't they offer him $20 million to step aside, and he turned that down? So does he really believe, or he can't believe that Tyson Fury is just better than him?
Well, he had.
I don't know.
It was Tyson. Wait, hold on. It was Tyson Fury's loaded gloves. Then it was Tyson Nunda. Then it was Mark Breland drugging him, putting Valiums in his water. Then it was the suit that he carried to the ring was too heavy. I mean, this dude's had 1,001 excuses, man. In fact, he's just one of those. He's almost like a. He's unbelievable. He's Mr. Jive.
True. Well, now it's all up to him. Either he's going to prove us wrong, or he's going to prove himself. He's going to prove himself that he's right, or he's going to take a whooping.
Okay.
One or the other.
You've been real harsh with Ryan Garcia, and I've had some emotional issues in my life, and I think everybody's had emotional issues in their life. Why were you so negative on him?
Well, I wasn't negative on him as far as his anxiety. You know, that's something he can't control. I know he does have to take care of that, but I think he was biting more than he can chew, and maybe that got to him a little bit.
In other words, taking stepping up too fast?
Stepping up too fast. Maybe couldn't handle the pressure too well behind it. I really don't know.
Okay.
But I think he should sit back and take care of himself first.
Speaking of pressures, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and the brother, I can't think of the brother's name right now, but they both lost last week. One lost to Canelo's brother. Another one lost to a former MMA fighter. Julio's had nothing but negative things to say about his kids in the papers and the magazines. That, like, blows me away. I've never seen too many fathers come out and just say, you know, my kids are like, they don't want to train, they're bummed, blah, blah. I mean, he's like, ripped them apart.
Yeah, well, you know what? He's being honest, isn't he? There's nothing better than somebody being honest about it. At least we know that when Julio speaks, he speaks the truth, whether it's his kids or not.
140. Hey, he weighed 143 pounds for that Camacho exhibition last week. Camacho weighed 160, barely made 160, but he weighed 143 pounds. He must have done some training for that.
He sure did. And you know, Julio, at this stage of his life, he takes things serious.
Okay. Speaking of taking things seriously, a guy that you had some promotional interest in, managerial interest in, of course, the 2004 Olympic gold medalist, Mr. Andre Ward. I say he's lost all kinds of weight in the last 4, 5, 6 months. His face is real trim. He used to have two chins on the microphone. Now he's got one chin. Is he training for the Canelo comeback?
That's what I hear. That's what I hear. And that'll be a big fight. Who could be a bigger fight for Canelo than him?
How come? All right, real quick, we've got less than a minute left. How come he never made the big money? Because he didn't go with King or Aram?
Probably. And plus, you know, he suffered a few injuries or several injuries throughout his career, which kind of shortened his career. But, you know, when you want to talk about health and safety, you know, it seems like sometimes you probably can't even tell he was a fighter.
Interesting. No doubt about that. Speaking of fighter, I got about 20 seconds left. Roberto Duran's 70th birthday party. Did he have a blast?
Always. Birthday or not, he's always having a blast.
Hector Martinez.
God bless him.
Hector Martinez, God bless you. And, of course, say hello to your mom. You know I love her. Take good care of the entire family, man. I respect you greatly.
Thank you.
The great Hector Martinez on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Back after the break.
Let's get out of this hot sun into a nice, cool bar.
In a few minutes, honey.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
I don't want to predict this fight, but, you know, I'm going to promise that I can give a good fight, you know, to make people happy, and I just do my best.
I love the way you sing, la, la, la. Make me feel like a king. Girl, you're my loving girl.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Not only was he the baddest man on the planet, he was the most recognizable guy on the planet, and at some points, he was the most despised man on the planet. I'm talking about Muhammad Ali, of course. Formerly Cassius Clay, then he changed his name and joined the Nation of Islam back in 1963, of course, became a Muslim, and from that point forward, he said to me, I wasn't just a fighter anymore, I was Muhammad Ali. If I was just Cassius Clay, I'd be just another fighter, this is another old punch-drunk fighter. But no, I'm Muhammad Ali. Being a Muslim changed me for the better, no doubt about that. Now we hear Muhammad Ali, and of course, expanding on the Vietnam War, back in 1967.
Muhammad, what do you do these days now? It seems the... I sometimes wonder what you're doing.
You know, it's really strange. I'm actually more busy now than I was boxing, because at the time I was boxing, I had to go in training for like 3 months before a fight. Yeah. And like immediately after a fight, I was signing for another one, and I was like on the streets for like 3 weeks, and then I was back in training. And I fought as much as 3 or 4 times a year, and training 3 months each fight. I was mostly in camp. Mm-hmm. But I'm more busy now than I was, more active in the ring. For an example, I was in Pittsburgh yesterday and toured about 3 black high schools in one day, encouraging the youth. A lot of gang wars are going on. They're shooting each other and sniping at each other on the streets. And the principals mentioned that with the things that I have done and sacrifices I have made, I'm about one of the few people that they might listen to. So I went, and they did listen, and a couple of the gangs got together, and we had a little secret meeting, and they shook each other's hand and said they're going to try to stop fighting and shooting. A lot of them are taking dope, and a lot of the girls are going into prostitution, and we went to the schools. We talked with the various groups, and we had a good time. And I'm on a college tour also, and my agent, Richard Fulton here in New York, says that look like we're going to be booked for another 2 years in the colleges. And I'm also franchising about 500 restaurants called Champ Burgers. We have 5 of them in the Miami area.
Champ Burgers?
Champ Burgers, right. And we're negotiating on about 10 more buildings in Georgia, and we're coming up here and all over the country. And also Random House will be coming out soon with my life autobiography, about 4 more months. So I'll stay pretty busy.
That's pretty good. Is there any how do you stand now with... the possibility of going to jail?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just waiting any day now.
Do you think about that, though? Do you ever think what you'll do if you
go? Well, yes, you think about it at nights when you're in the bed. You think about, you know, if I went this way, what could have happened if I went this way? And I've figured it all out. No people gain freedom until some have to die, some lose their wealth, some give up money. And like I would say, the white race, when your people first got here, they didn't have these cameras and televisions and jet airplanes and air conditions and Howard Johnson's and Holiday Inns and Americana and Hilton hotels. They had to fight the Indians, watch their daughters raped and scabbed. Took 6 months to go from here to Los Angeles. Now you can do it in 3.5 hours. But nevertheless, they kept fighting and cutting down the trees. And they didn't see this, but they made a way for the present whites to rule. And the Japanese in World War II, they had these flights called suicide missions. They knew they would die, but they ran that plane, right? His life meant nothing when it came to the freedom of his daughter, his son, the future of his nation. And I would say, like, the astronauts, 3 white astronauts almost got stranded in space, and their wives were waiting, and the children were worried because they might, they could have been out there now, still in orbit.
Yeah.
But for the progress of white America in space, 8 astronauts died on the ground, and 3 almost not got back. But whenever people want to really make progress, some have to sacrifice a lot. And I like to say white America right now is spending $30 million a day in Asia. Black and white boys are dying unjustly for nothing just to free somebody else. So why should I worry about going to little old jail to free my poor people who's been catching hell here for 400 years? And it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to put a black...
Are you asking me for an answer to that?
It's kind of hard to put a black man... any black person in this country in jail, because if you ask the average one, we're already in jail. You know, we've been in jail 400 years.
How does the subject change so many times in that long sentence that I really... I'm going to talk for a second now. That I really don't know how that connects with Howard Johnson's and everything, but it's a terrifically long harangue that you did. Do you feel bitter toward the entire white race? Do you think there's something about whiteness that is evil?
No, sir. No, sir. Whatever white people do as far as evil or as far as mistreatment, it's just the nature of the white race to be this way if we check history.
Do you think it might be human nature?
Yes, just human nature to kill. If white people,
human nature,
I watch television, if there's not a movie of white people shooting white people in shootouts and cowboy pictures, they're shooting Indians. If they're not shooting Indians, they're shooting Negroes. If they're not doing that, they're shooting reindeers or elephants or killing something. Just got to shoot. The system is built on war.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think if it had happened the other way around, for some reason in evolution, if the genes and the pigments had happened to work some other way, and if the nation of Africa, if the continent of Africa had developed the kind of civilization that ours has, is there something intrinsically... I know this is part of the Muslim point, I assume, the black Muslim point, that there is something intrinsically aggressive about white nature that there isn't about black.
No religious point. What I'm telling you is in history books, in your own books about this. I have a book called 100 Years.
Oh, sure,
of
I know. All there is.
So I'm not bringing up religion or nothing. This is just a fact that the world knows, you know. But I would say that just the nature, from what I see of darker people, is peace. I say like. The Japanese seemed to be a peaceful people until somebody else came over dictating and trying to rule them. The Hawaiians, they'd be on the beach doing their little dance. The Indian was building his, teepee or whatever you call it. The African was somewhere doing his little dance. These people have never tried to go to other planets or slay and enslave other people or take over countries.
That isn't true. I don't want to get in an argument with you, but... Tahiti, for example, is always used as an example of the paradise that the white man came and destroyed. But if you look into the history of I'm an expert because I just read a book about it, Captain Cook, but that supposedly peaceful paradise where people did nothing but pluck breadfruit off the trees and make love and had no disease until the white man got there, actually had a number of unpleasant aspects to it, like the fact that they strangled infants at birth. To keep the population down, that there were live human sacrifices. So I know that there have been outrageous injustices against the black people in this country, but it doesn't really get us very far to talk about something as if the white man were some sort of intrinsic devil that no other race is.
That's the truth. You are right. What you said was the truth. The thing that you all have done to us is worse than the devil you told us about underground.
How would you like it if I were to lead into a commercial now?
Whatever you want to say, but when you say
after
devil,
this message
right.
From our local stations, we'll return.
Muhammad Ali on the Vietnam War. What can I say? He wouldn't go. What do you say? I'm not going to use my. You're not going to use my name to lead other young men to slaughter. I'm not going to let that happen. And he didn't let it happen. More power to him. He was a tremendous man, no doubt about that. Having spent time with him both professionally and personally, we're going to say nobody was greater than the greatest Muhammad Ali. Speaking of great, Gervonta Davis, of course, dropped Mario Barros last night three times, stopping him in the 11th round. Of course, it was a fireworks type of fight. They were throwing blows back and forth. I mean, it was a give-and-take battle. I mean, Barros won the first four rounds. Tank Davis... wasn't looking like a 140-pound threat for the first four rounds, but then things changed. Of course, Davis now a champion, 135, 130, and 140 pounds, won this title, of course, in Atlanta, Georgia. I want to say hi to Jackie Sunshine Smith. She was there last night, and she had a blast. Julio Cesar Martinez stopped the very game. Joel Cordova in the sixth round to defend the WBC flyweight champion. It's 112-pound championship. Of course, that went down, I believe, in Mexico, and that was on DAZN. Of course, DAZN's got it going on. Speaking of DAZN, I told you they're bucking for this this Tyson Fury, Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua fight. So Anthony Joshua was told to not take the fight with Fury now. Take the Usyk fight first. Have a fight in between with a guy that nobody really knows, Oleg Usyk. Of course, that would still Joshua can sell out just about any arena, Wembley Stadium included, Wembley Arena in the UK. Fighting anybody. So him fighting Usyk. Usyk is undefeated. He's a mean-looking guy, but he's a small guy. He's a cruiserweight. You know, smaller. Much smaller guy than Anthony Joshua. And Joshua will have a big size advantage of him, and I figure Joshua will win probably inside the distance, if not a one-sided decision. But that's what's going to happen with these guys with Humble. But when the real heavyweight championship steps into the ring, I'm talking about Tyson Fury. He's 30-0, of course, with that one draw to Wilder. He will look to punish Wilder like you've never seen before. I mean, after this fight, Deontay Wilder, you might not be able to recognize him. He might have to rest. You might be, listen, there might be cops ready to arrest. This is going to be at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Well, the Metropolitan Police Department of Las Vegas might be there to arrest Tyson Fury afterwards for domestic violence. I mean, that's how bad he's going to whoop up on Deontay Wilder. This isn't even fair. This is not a fair fight. It were. I mean, except for the knockdowns, what did Deontay Wilder do in either of those fights? He did nothing. He lowered his stock. He showed that he exposed himself for being a one-dimensional, one-trick pony. All these guys have that big right hand. He's a street fighter. He's a street fighter. And you know, you can tell that street fighters love him. I mean, they do. I mean, I talk to guys on the street, like street thugs, you know, I love Wilder, man. Why do you like Wilder? Oh, he can punch. You know, everybody likes him because he can punch, but he can't box. He can't box to save his life. He has no footwork. He has no jab. I mean, he doesn't throw punches in combination. He has a decent, he has a great right hand. I mean, it's a can't miss right hand. If he hits you with that one, you're probably going to go, right? Except for Tyson Fury. Twice he got up from it. More power to Tyson Fury. In fact, one time I think got up from a combination, a left-right. So the bottom line is Fury got up. How the second time he got up, because he never knows how he got up that second time. But he got up, and of course, he is now going to defend this title or go for a third go around with Deontay Wilder, which I think is a big waste of time. But people say it's going to happen. Let it happen, and it'll be over with real quick. And of course, I think it should go about 8 or 9 rounds. And when I tell you, Deontay Wilder, they said he wasn't trying to cash out. Hector said he wasn't trying to cash out because he could have took the $20 million and ran. He didn't, so he wants to fight instead. No, he's probably going to make a little bit more than the $20 million in this fight. And I think that deep down inside, somebody has convinced him that he was wrong. Sort of like Donald Trump, you know, losing the election. He can't accept the fact he lost the election. Well, I don't think Deontay Wilder can accept the fact that he got schooled by Tyson Fury, not once but twice. I mean, twice. There's no doubt about it. He schooled them twice.
The UFC, they can strip fighters and give other fighters make-believe belts in order to replicate my champ status. But they can't give knockout victories across multiple weight divisions. So there you go again. Etch my name in history one more time.
I talked earlier about Dustin Poirier and take that back. I talked about Conor McGregor. Of course, Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier are going to hook it up again. Of course, Poirier beat him last year. Of course, McGregor beat him the first time like 8 or 10 years ago when they were both green as guacamole. But things have changed. Conor McGregor's gotten old. He has a whiskey label when he made $200 million with last year. More power to him on that. But the bottom line is I don't think he's a serious fighter anymore, and I think Dustin Poirier will win this third fight as well. The co-feature will have Gilbert Burns at welterweight coming to us from Brazil, taking on Stephen Schoolboy Thompson. Good luck with that one, Mr. Thompson. Taya Tevesa is going to be in the heavyweight feature bout, taking on Greg Hardy. That's going to be a good fight. And Irene Aldana is going to take on Yana Kunisakaya. That's going to be a women's bantamweight bout. Of course, that's going to go down UFC 264. Now, the UFC I want to see Francis Ngannou do something with the heavyweight championship. He has it. What are they going to do with it? I mean, he's the most dominant fighter probably in the history of the game. He's only won the championship, like, he just won it. And he's still the most dominant heavyweight ever. Why? He can punch. Nobody can punch like Ngannou. I don't think there's any fighter, any boxer can punch like Ngannou. I think a boxer, if Ngannou wants to make the crossover, I think he can eventually challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship and do okay, because he was a professional boxer before he was a professional UFC fighter. No doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA, of course, coming to you every Saturday and Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, right here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, and the American Forces Network. Ring Talk returns in WBC Boxing TV right after the break.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Wrapping up another hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. The video stream returns next week, as will Presidente, Mauricio Sulaiman of the World Boxing Council. So the video stream will be back up next week. The show will be live for 2 hours next week. Of course, the Sunday edition is live, 2 hours, 11 a.m. Pacific time. The Saturday edition, Saturday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, of course, is 1 hour. Of course, Saturday is 1 hour. Sunday is 2 hours. Bottom line is 3 hours of Ring Talk live worldwide and WBC Boxing TV coming to you live from the Sports Byline studios each and every Saturday and Sunday right here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, and, of course, Channel 217 and a plethora, take that back, like 1,000 other internet platforms. Now, Fighter of the Week, got to give it to two guys, Gervonta Davis and Vasyl Lomachenko. Both those guys, of course, Lomachenko coming back now 15-2 after the loss to Teofimo Lopez. Got drubbed by Lopez, no doubt about that. He was an upset. He was a 5-1 favorite to some sports books going in. I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe it. I bet on Lopez, believe it or not, a cheeseburger with Hector. But the bottom line is Lopez is a champion. Vasyl Lomachenko is not going to be champion again as long as Teofimo Lopez is king. So maybe Lopez moves up. Maybe Vasyl Lomachenko moves down to 130 pounds. Who knows? But the bottom line is, if they do a rematch, it'll be like the first one, a beatdown, not of major proportions, but of dominant proportions. You have been tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of box and MMA. Want to thank my buddy, Hector Martinez, of course, spending some time with me today. Of course, he's a pain in the ass, no doubt about that. He is my good friend. He's been my good friend since 1972. I love him, and I respect him dearly, so I want to thank him so much for his time. Of course, Gervonta Davis, we're going to say we'll have him on next week's show, according to his trainer. I look forward to that, no doubt about that. Now, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, often imitated but never duplicated. 37, make that 38-plus years now of knocking out all bums. Thank you so much. Tune in next week for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Saturday and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, right here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and 1,000 other internet platforms. This is Ring Talk.